Welcome to the Financial Flight Plan with Tim Estes and Bree Reyes. When it comes to your financial future, we believe the sky is the limit. We'll give you the proper tools to keep your engine portfolio running smoothly. Let us pilot the answers to some of your toughest financial issues. The Financial Flight Plan starts now.
Well, thanks for joining us again on the Financial Flight Plan podcast alongside Bree Reyes. I'm Ben George, and we're looking forward to this episode. A couple episodes coming up here. We're really going to focus in on federal employees and really talk about a couple different topics, and beginning today with federal benefits and also kind of pay structure for federal employees. And there's a lot of new stuff maybe on the horizon, maybe some shifts and changes in terms of how pay is determined for people. So we want Bree to lay that all out for us today on the show. So we'll do that again with Bree, who is investor coach and certified financial planner at Estes Financial Services, and right there in Fort Worth, serving all of the Metroplex. Bree, how are you?
Doing great, Ben. We just got back from a family ski week in Park City, Utah, and had a wonderful, wonderful time.
That's awesome. Does Nate get out there on the slopes at all? Does he?
He is. Okay, so this is the last year he will not ski. Next year, okay, he will start ski school. But they have a daycare at the hill on the mountain that he went to, and they would bring him out and they'd play in the snow during the day and they'd, you know, do all kinds of fun stuff. And so he calls it ski school. Or occasionally he's called it high school, which freaks me out a little bit. I'm like, no, buddy, you're not ready for high school yet. But he did his quote unquote ski school this past year. Unfortunately, he has to be three, and he's just a few months shy of three. So he can't learn to ski just yet, but he is very, very, very excited, which is great, because last year when we went, he hated the snow.
Oh, really? So, and now he loves it?
Now, yeah, he's still kind of 50-50 on it, but at least he doesn't hate it. So I'll take that. I'll take 50-50 over just absolute hatred any day of the week.
Yeah, that's a big win. That'll be fun to see him on the skis next year. That'll be a lot of fun. Do y'all do that? Y'all do that every year?
Every year we go. My parents, my husband and I, my in-laws have gone in the past. They don't always go with us, but they ski as well. And then close family friends, my sisters and their kids are all invited. So it's a full week of fun.
It sounds like it. Well, that's exciting. We'll have to get an update next year when Nate actually straps them on and goes down that little bunny hill. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah.
Well, today I wanted to bring a news article that's out and some headlines that are out, because I know you're a specialist, you and Tim and everyone over at Estes Financial Services work a lot with federal employees, quite a bit, and you guys are chartered federal employee benefit consultants. So you've probably seen this news already, and you're probably already kind of figuring out how it's going to affect the people that you work with. So let's dive into it today. And the headline is, the White House proposes reduction in federal retirement benefits and a 1% pay raise in 2021. So I guess overall right now, there's a lot of different budgets being thrown out there and proposals being thrown out there. But this White House one seems to be pretty interesting.
This is the one that's most interesting to me. And this, anything that we talk about today is in the 2021 budget request document, the proposal from the White House. This is the administration's point of view. There are some other bills being thrown around and some other ideas from senators, but this is specifically, I like to focus specifically on the White House, because usually a form of this or a version of this maybe is what we end up with.
Okay.
So for the federal employees that are listening, some of this is going to sound repetitive because we discuss this every single year anytime we come up with a budget. It's amazing to me how the country runs a budget, but that's probably another podcast.
Yeah, probably so. So kind of take me through this a little bit, because I think, you know, you kind of highlighted that this 1% pay raise, and it seems like that's not a big deal, but what is the structure that they're looking at using potentially?
Okay, so the 1% pay increase for federal employees is actually kind of a huge deal. In that 1% isn't keeping up with inflation, we all know that. But also they want to increase funds available for ratings-based performance awards. So they want some more flexibility. The administration, the White House, wants more flexibility in how they pay government employees. And they basically want to slow the frequency of step increases in order to align a federal employee's performance where possible. So The existing federal structure rewards longevity over performance. The longer you've been there, and this is the White House's point of view, not mine necessarily, but it's the White House views the step increase promotions that most federal employees receive on a fixed periodic schedule as a problem because that they're performing at maybe a passable level versus an exceptional level. And so the White House wants to move from the standard step increases that are granted about 99.7% of the time. I mean, you usually get a step increase. Mm-hmm. They want to move away from that, or they're proposing to move away from that and award a flexible, performance-based. And the problem is with this is we don't have any metrics on what they mean by performance-based.
Yeah,
so that's kind of a little bit of a that's a little bit of a question mark there. But they want to slow down the step increases. And then the next thing that they're always talking about is potentially doing away with the COLAs. So they want to eliminate the cost of living increase fully for FERS, which is one group of federal employee retirees. So we have two different groups of federal employee retirees. We have the CSRS's civil service, and then we have the FERS. And so they want to, the White House is proposing eliminating the FERS cost of living increase for retirees and reducing the CSRS COLA payments. In the White House's point of view, it's going to bring in compensation more in line with the private sector. But those cost of living increases are very much needed in order to keep up with inflation. So it's something that if I were a federal employee retiree, I'd be very, very concerned about potentially doing away with the cost of living increases.
Has the government always been structured that way in terms of longevity, or was there a time in which it was performance-based?
It has always been longevity.
So this is a big deal.
As long as I know. I'm not exactly sure how our founding fathers set things up initially. but as far as I know, everybody's always been. And the deal was most jobs were. I mean, think about it, Ben. When your great-grandparents or your grandparents worked at a job, usually they'd have a pension.
Right.
I mean, it was more. Most careers were set up for longevity. They wanted to train good people and keep good people and keep them working for them. It's much easier to retain an employee than find a new one. But the private sector moved away from those pensions a long, long time ago, and the government sector didn't. And so this is the way the government is trying to save some money, and their biggest expense is their own employees,
right?
Like it or not.
Well, what are you hearing from your clients so far? Is this something that's on their radar already, or is this something you think will kind of become a conversation over the summer and then, you know, as the year kind of winds down?
This is usually a there's a couple more things in here that I want to touch on first, and then we'll kind of go through it. The next thing is the White House is proposing eliminating the special retirement supplement. If you were a FERS employee, you probably have heard about this, but, and Ben, let me explain it to you. In the private sector, if you decide to leave your job and retire before you're eligible for Social Security, so before 62, there's no bridge, there's no gap. I mean, you've got to fill it, right? And you get to decide when you're going to take Social Security. So there's no private supplement. In the federal government, because certain federal employees have ages they must retire by, there is a special retirement supplement that will partially replace Social Security until age 62. It falls off at 62. The White House is proposing, again, this gets proposed almost every year, to eliminate this special retirement supplement because it's not provided in the private sector. But at the same time, most private sector jobs don't have ages where people must retire by. So it's something to think about. And it's something that federal employees need to be aware of that's on the chopping block again. They're also, the next thing is they want to, they're bringing up changing from high 3 years to high 5 years. And this is how the annuity, their pension is determined. It's part of the pension calculation. Right now, they're based on an average of a federal employee's highest 3 year salary earnings. Most private sector companies, if they have a pension, base it on 5 years. So the White House is suggesting let's move more toward the private sector. Let's look at high five instead. I would purport that there's probably not many private sector companies that have pensions anymore to compare to anyway. Mm-hmm. So, but it's something to be aware of because it changes how much your pension's going to be. And then the one that everyone's going to be up in arms again about. The White House is proposing reducing the G fund interest rate.
Okay.
I know. That sounds like just jargon. If you are a federal employee, their version of what you and I in the outside world would consider a 401k, they call their TSP, their thrift savings plan. And in a 401k, you may have multiple investments that you can invest in. Well, they, the federal government, this TSP really has five individual funds and then some L funds, lifestyle cycle funds. One of those five funds is the G fund. And it is very well liked by federal employees. It's an investment vehicle only available through their thrift savings plan. And what it does is the people that invest in it benefit from receiving a medium-term rate of return on what is basically thought of as a short-term security. So what that means is they get a lot more money than they would necessarily if they were just invested in short-term. And it's the government chooses the interest rate for this fund. And quite a few federal employees take advantage of the G fund. So reducing the G fund interest rate would really bring down a lot of performance in those employees' thrift savings plans. So it's going to reduce not only the projected rate of return to the investors, but also how much the Treasury has to pay them.
It seems like a lot of bad news, Bree. It doesn't seem like there's a whole lot good in these proposals.
Well, don't forget, it's the proposal.
Right.
This is the bad pancake, Ben. This is the first draft. This is the proposal. This is not what we're going to end up with.
Right.
Necessarily. But I like to make sure that our federal employee clients and prospects are aware that these things are out there because they affect the rest, potentially the rest of their lives and definitely their retirement, especially the cost of living increases, the special retirement supplement, if you're planning on having that. And then if you're working right now, this G fund reduction of the G fund rate is huge.
Mm-hmm. And then plus your pension might end up being smaller than you had hoped for or expected to if they go from the high five to the high, or the high three to the high five.
High three to the high five, yes. Yeah. Especially, and quite frankly, this is not necessarily what people expected when they took these jobs. When you take a job, you look at the benefits package. And so I don't know if all federal employees have really, could afford to go to private sector. And what about the already retirees? So there's a lot of things that former and current federal employees need to think about when it comes into retirement and really need to pay attention to when these budgets get announced and how it can affect their benefits.
Well, you said that, this is just a proposal, and I guess these proposals come out every year. I mean, is there any kind of feel across the country about whether or not these are more likely than usual, maybe more realistic than past years, or just kind of a, hey, it's a proposal again, let's just be aware of what's out there, and then let's address it as things become more concrete?
Oh, let's see. The cost of living is something we've heard before. Getting rid of the special retirement supplement is something we hear every time. So those two aren't really unique. The pay increase is okay. The high three to high five we've heard before. What I find really interesting is this new performance-based system on pay raises and then the reduction in the G fund interest rate. I think that those can do some long-term damage to current employees. If I was a current employee, those are the two things that I am focused on more than anything else. If I am a federal retiree, my biggest concern is going to be the cost of living.
Okay, that's good to know. That's very good to know. And all these things will affect somebody's retirement plan with you too, right? Every single
one.
Oh,
yeah. Oh, yeah. We'll have to go back and we'll have to look at all of our federal employees and look at what we've planned, especially if we expect them to take the special retirement supplement.
Well, Bree's a perfect person to work with on this. As you know, I mean, people listening to this are aware probably of your credentials, but you and your father, Tim, are chartered federal employee benefit consultants and work a lot with federal employees on their retirement plans. So if any of these things kind of raise an eyebrow for you or you're concerned at all, set up a time to sit down with Bree and talk through some of these things and maybe how they would affect you if any of these things were actually enacted moving forward. But again, all just proposals, all things just to kind of be aware of that maybe could become a reality at some point in your career. So it's always best to be prepared for those things. That's the biggest part of retirement planning, is being prepared for everything. And that's what we're trying to do today on the show. But let's not make it all negative today, Bree. There's a positive.
Oh, no.
There's a positive in this always, is that as a listener, not only do you get the great information that we just provided, but there's a Shock and Awe toolkit that you provide for listeners of the podcast.
Yes, we do. We provide a book that we wrote with our good friend Dan Caprile called The Financial Flight Plan, 7 Lessons to Save Your Retirement. And guess what? It talks about some of these things. We also have a couple of special reports. The 5 Risks That Could Destroy Your Retirement and a Tax Special Report. All in all, the kit's valued at $97, but we provide it to listeners of the podcast for free, complimentary. So if you click the link below, reach out to our office, we'll get it out to you. But that is the toolkit. And it's becoming, I think, more and more important to start thinking about saving your retirement now, because obviously cost of living increases and benefits are being proposed to be cut and taxes rising. And so this is all something that's very, very important to think about.
Yeah. And anybody in the private sector too knows about that as well, in terms of cost of living increases dropping and all that sort of thing. So this is a great way to prepare yourself and to get yourself as ready as possible for the taxes and to try to trim as much of that and have as much of your own money and keep as much of your own money as possible. So make sure you reach out to Bree and just tell him you heard about the Shock and Awe toolkit right here on the Financial Flight Plan podcast.
It's getting to know you time.
Time now to get to know Bree Reyes, one of my favorite segments of the show, because Bree is a very, very interesting person, has a lot going on outside of the office, and so that's why we have this segment to learn more about her and her family. So today on the show, I got this question for you, Bree. What's the worst punishment that your parents ever gave you when you were a child?
Oh, God. You know, my number one listener to the podcast is my mother.
Is she?
And I love you, Mom. Oh, God, yes.
It's not Joaquin.
Oh, Mom listens every week. She listens more than my husband, I think. Yes. Mom, I love you. Let's see. Worst punishment? Easily. Hands down, still the worst punishment. And I am an inappropriate age for my parents to be punishing me. But is easily when Dad says we need to talk.
Ooh, yeah. You don't want to hear that.
You know, here's the thing about having a trained naval aviator as a father. He went to something called SEER school, which is where they teach you how to survive and evade and deal with enemy combatants. And he learned some interrogation techniques. I'm not talking about waterboarding. I'm talking about non-physical, just, you know. And so my father can sit me down and just sit and look at me and say, we need to talk, and I will burst into crying today. Not a problem. And then he'll say, is there anything you need to tell me? And I know what he's doing. Logically, I get it. But just that, and then he'll shut up. He won't say another word, Ben, until I confess everything I've done, thought of doing, something my friends have done. I used to confess to it all, because he would just sit there and stare at me.
Did he ever just throw that out there, even if he didn't know of anything? Just wanted to see if you'd spill
all
any?
All the time. And my sisters are better about avoiding it than I am. I cannot do it. They know the drill and they just kind of blow it off. I can't. I mean, I would confess, you know, have stolen Lindbergh's baby if I needed to get out of the chair like that.
Whatever you want to hear, Dad.
Whatever you need to hear, Dad. I will totally, I will sign it right now. Yeah, no. But yeah, the worst punishment is, Brew, we need to talk. Is there anything you need to tell me, or I'm disappointed in you? I'm done. I'm done.
That's amazing. We love Tim on the show, and that's great to hear. I was wondering, because it's, you know, coming from a military family, you just never know what kind of discipline is being used. It could be, you know, because of how, you know,
psychological torture.
But we know exactly
that was ours. That was mine.
Bree, please have a seat. We need to talk. Oh, that's amazing. Well, thanks for sharing that, Bree. The worst punishment she has ever received.
It's time for the mailbag. We want to hear from you.
Let's close out the show with a mailbag question, as we like to do. If you ever have a question that you want to send in, you can do so at estesfinancial.net. You can also connect with Estes Financial Services on Facebook. They're also on Twitter. LinkedIn, many different places that you can connect with them, but you can also call the office, 817-444-8402. Anything that's on your mind, send it in to us, and we will try to get Bree to answer it right here on the show. And we have a question from Jerry today. I just looked at my Social Security estimate that shows how much I'll get if I started at age of 62, 66, and 70. I'm blown away by how much more I'm going to get at 70, so I'm inclined to just wait until then to start it, even though I'll probably retire a little bit earlier at 66 or 67. So I'm assuming that putting it off like this is the best course of action for someone like me. Is that right?
Ooh, Jerry, that, potentially, yes. You got to take a look at your lifestyle and your longevity and how healthy you are, because it's about 12 years before you recoup the delay to wait. But you're right. I mean, it's a guaranteed 8% per year while you wait between full retirement age and age 70. Now, you get no benefit for waiting after age 70. People love to ask me that all the time. Well, what if I wait even longer? Nothing. It stops at 70. Accept your money. Get it. But yeah, I mean, I always like to look at the differences in taking Social Security. We used to have a lot of neat and cool Social Security timing strategies that we could do, and the government got away from a lot of those a few years ago, and so that kind of stinks. But definitely taking it at full retirement age and making sure you're not penalizing yourself for the rest of the life, your life. Taking it at 62, you're taking a reduced amount for the rest of your life, and you're potentially reducing your survivor's benefit as well. So you've got to look at that one. So that always kind of throws 62 out, unless there's a medical need or family history or something like that, or just an absolute need. If you can figure out another solution to covering the income hole that might be there, then looking and waiting for Social Security is always something I'd like to consider. It's always something I consider in a financial plan.
There you go, Jerry. But also, you'll want to sit down and actually go through your entire situation, because it might be the best option, but it might not. So you work
right.
With
it really depends on you. And I'd sit down, and we run Social Security estimates and have conversations with people all the time about that. It's part of our annual reviews with our clients to make sure nothing's come up, to make sure nothing has changed, and just kind of talk through it.
Right. Well, there you go, Jerry. So make sure you reach out to Estes Financial Services and set up a time to go through your Social Security and figure out which claiming strategy is going to be best for you, because you want to get it right the first time. That's absolutely important to do. Well, Bree, that's going to do it for this episode of the Financial Flight Plan. I think that's really great information we had today about the proposed budget by the White House in 2021. Just something to be keeping an eye on this year.
Exactly. And everybody, don't forget, go out and lead an abundant life.